this year they made it too easy. For the first year ever, I'm going to say that that's not good enough.
It looked like there was even less people there than normal, Matt. It looked like three men and a dog.
Who is teaching these young players the etiquette of the game?
The big four. These are the most expensive darts mission I've ever done. In just over 4 weeks, it'll be Q School. Are you going? As you can see, these are now big boxes. Matt, we're back with episode 69. It's good to see you. I know you've been unwell. Thank you for joining us today. And I've got to have a shout out. It's nearly Christmas. We need some subscribers. I wanted us to hit 2,000, Matt, by New Year, and I don't think we're quite going to make it. So I really need some subscribers this week, guys. If you're going to help me out, that'd be amazing. Thank you. Matt has been unwell. If he starts having a fit or coughing during today's podcast, don't worry. He is on the mend, but you've been pretty ill, mate.
Yeah, I've spent a lot of time in bed, actually. So I've had an infection on my lungs. So I was at very high risk. The doctor suggested that I needed a lot of rest. And the issue with the respiratory illness is it can lead you prone to cardiac. So I've been following the instructions. I've still done a few little bits because I get so bored, like laying in bed all day and then like going downstairs to the sofa. But I mean, we was working together, wasn't we, last week? And I was shutting down. So the day we filmed the podcast last week, I was shutting down as we went. Now that day, me and Andy were sat in front of the radiator and I whacked the radiator up, which is not me. Like, That was like the start of it, wasn't it? Of me noticing things. And throughout the day, I just got worse and worse and worse to the point where Andy probably realized I really was ill, where I turned up late for dinner because I was like, I don't know if I should be going. And I turned up late for dinner. And then I didn't even have a starter. I didn't have a dessert. I was gone. I was like, I've got to go.
Yeah, I knew you were ill. At that point, sticky toffee pudding right there. No, don't want anything. I thought, that's it. He's gone. And thankfully you went home because you got worse, didn't you? But
massively, yeah.
I meant I had to do some content without you, which has been a bit weird because we've done everything together for 2 years. And then the last two times we filmed, I was ill and then you were ill. Well, so let's hope we're putting that behind us now, mate, and we're going to be healthy for Christmas. Talking of Christmas, it's World Championship time, and one of them has already started, and it feels like there's a lot to talk about, Matt, in the darts world this week. A heck of a lot to talk about.
Well, this is one of the benefits people are going to have here of me being ill, because I've been ill, I've just been absorbing content, because I've not been getting out of bed. So I've watched everything. I've been watching Lakeside, I've watched the JDC, I've been literally watching every single dart that could be thrown. So I'm well and up on top of all my dart stuff, and I have got a lot I want to say.
Okay, well, let's kick off with Lakeside. As you've been watching it, what's with the camera angle?
Do you know what? I'm not one of these people that likes to sit and complain or slag off production. I know how hard production is. I know how expensive production is. So I'm not one of these people that go, oh, this is rubbish. And Lakeside's always there to be shot at. Lakeside's always a venue or always an event year upon year where everybody can have an opinion and can make an easy jibe at it. It's an easy shot sometimes. This year, they made it too easy. For the first year ever, I'm going to say that that's not good enough. You know, we can produce a stream better in regards to the book. Now, there's a couple of things that really stand out. Now, the first thing is my fan experience of watching it. It's very hard. And surely not that hard to set a camera up in the right position. But here's the interesting one for me. This is me putting my sort of educated sort of side of things on. Rule one of broadcasting darts, show the darts. Doesn't matter if you miss reactions. Doesn't matter if you miss wide shots, two shots, whatever the different shots are you're going to get, crowd reactions, whatever they're going to be. They are extras. Rule one, show the darts. Now, where you may see this come into play, and you may notice this, is, let's say, for example, a player has a dart that stands a little bit upright and they sort of block it so you can't quite see where the next one is. What they'll do is they'll confirm the shot. So by confirming the shot, they'll move to a different angle so you can see that the dart is in or it's not. And you'll see it. It'll go above, it'll go to the side. You'll notice because the camera's going to move angles to show you if the dart is in or not. The first leg and a half, I didn't even see a dart. Because it showed me a bit of crowd. It showed me the aisle way. I was just watching both players from the back of the stage. Now, this causes big issues, potential issues here, because Lakeside has got an open sports book. Now, open sports books traditionally will have live in-play betting where they'll pay for the data that is inputted into a machine. Now, okay. That data has been input into the machine and that data has probably been sold, but the viewer can't see it. So we now have a big, big issue. So imagine a penalty and they just cover the screen and go, oh, it was saved. You'll go, was it saved? You'll have that moment of doubt. Like, yeah, I get what you're saying. I get that this referee's going to call it as it is. You know, we're not even for the remotest bits, just, but the viewer needs to see what's going on. So I wouldn't be surprised if there's some form of a repercussion here in potentially like a fine because of the fact they're not even showing all the darts, because now that live in-play data, they can't really use it because you can't see it. So it has to be visible. Rule one, show the darts. If all you can show is a dartboard, just show the dartboard. Everything else comes secondary. Show me the game. I need to see where the darts land. So that, for me, is the first big issue. The camera angle, yeah, it's not great. It's shaky. It's ropey. It's going to get better as the week goes on. We know that a different broadcaster's coming in. First impressions matter. And I think the damage was done early.
Yeah, I do. And I mean, this feels like a cheap jibe at Lakeside, but it looked like there was even less people there than normal, Matt. It looked like three men and a dog. I mean, it was if you've worked hard all year as you did to get in that tournament, and when it's your moment, there's eight people sat behind watching. That's not good, is it?
They've got to look at the pricing of it as well. Like the pricing's too high. You can go to the Premier League for less than you can go to Lakeside. Now, we've got to remember what Lakeside is. And this year, Lakeside is being what it should be. Lakeside, for me, in the lineal progression of darts, is a giant stepping stone for players. Jensen Walker, 18-year-old Super Series champion, playing. 15-year-old Mitchell Lurie. Shane McGurk. You know, we're looking at developing players that are there for the right reasons, franked by quality amateurs. The likes of Raymond Smith, quarterfinalist at the PDC World Championship a few years ago. He's in there. Jimmy Van Ski, probably one of the best players on the amateur circuit right now. He's in there. So we look at, it should be these high-end amateurs against these up-and-comers. It's on the dartboard, this tournament is everything I wish it was. It's got quality. It's got a worldwide feature. And it's got some reputable names. It's everything you want it to be. So why can't it be presented properly?
Mm.
And by that, why can't we have... Why are tickets 50 quid minimum to get in? That's ridiculous. That is a ridiculous amount. If I want to go down with my son, 100 quid minimum, plus booking fees and everything to get in, I'm not paying it. Not only that, but looking at from a player's point of view, I played in this last year. And last year, for my guest to be able to come backstage with me, they had to buy a ticket to be in the arena. You're charging players' guests. I mean, come on. I know it's not a business, shall we say. It's an organization. But come on. Like, surely someone looks at it and goes, yes, we've got 50 people in paying 50 quid each, but surely this would be better if we filled this place out a little bit more. I know it's a hard sell. It's a hard sell, but it's not a hard sell when you sell. People want to back it. I see people all the time say, oh, I want to go to Lakeside. Then it goes, actually, I'm not so sure. Like, there's a lot of people that want to back it and support it and get, but you can't support it at a premium.
No.
Support's not a premium price.
No, it's not. It's not. Right. I've got to ask you, because I didn't know what the hell was going on. And I thought Matt will know and Matt will have an answer. And I can't say his name, but Dalibor Smolik left the stage. Did you see this?
Yeah, don't tell me.
Yeah, and I'm like, I have no idea what A, I have no idea why he left the stage, but B, I have no idea whether that is allowed. Like, and I thought, well, I'm going to ask Matt. That's the first thing I'm going to ask Matt. Can you leave the stage during a game? If so, how long for? Give us
your insight. Technically, no. You're not allowed to leave the stage. But at the same aspect, they can't stop you from doing so. So it's a tricky one. Yeah, you know, if you get caught short and you really need the toilet and you're like, look, I need to go, they can't be like, no, you've got to carry on throwing. It's a tricky one. But certainly within PDC, there may be a fine because you're disrupting the broadcast. And so, but they can't stop you. They physically aren't make you play on. But I think if it becomes persistent, you can go down the disciplinary road, which is your warning. You can lose a leg, and then you ultimately lose the match.
I saw this in snooker once, Matt, and I can't remember who it was, but some guy was like every frame. He was like, I just need to go to the toilet. And eventually the referee was like, no, you, that's enough now. You've gone five consecutive times after each leg. I'm sorry, but no, continue to play, and they didn't let him go. Which is fair. You can't possibly need the toilet five times in half an hour. I mean, you could if you had a bladder problem, obviously. But so he won't. You don't think anything will happen about it? It's just is what it is. Yeah,
is what it is. Speaking about things I'd like to see happen though, is I don't know if you saw any of the JDC.
No.
Oh, Andy, you're probably glad you didn't.
What happened?
A couple of cases for you here. One lad's beat a guy, and he's give it large, like about seven times. About seven times, okay. Right? One lad wants 15. He hits single three, walks off the stage, walks around. It's like it walks around the room, comes back to try and hit the double six. And it's like, I tell you what, like I was watching it and I was looking at it going, who is teaching these young players the etiquette of the game? Like I worked with that sort of age level when I was working in academy football. And there was a strong element of class that was required. Like when you turn up, you're either in your tracksuit or you're in your suit. Your kit's in a bag. Your bag's clean. You know, all these sort of things was a requirement of when we turned up at an event or when we turned up as a match. Your boots come out your bag. They're clean. You know, there's all these different things. And we taught them about the etiquette of the game. And I thought, are these children being taught the etiquette of the game? And then I saw what I thought was the problem.
Okay.
The team event comes around. And I'm watching the team event. And the coaches are running around the room, screaming, shouting, celebrating, because these 14, 15-year-old kids are winning games of darts, right? And I looked at it, and I thought to myself, what is the problem here? The problem is a lot of the people that was doing these roles was people that was living through the child. We see it all the time in football with the parents on the side where they live through the child. And I feel at the moment there was a lot of that at that JDC event where a lot of these team managers was living through the children to the point where, yes, your guys have just won, but at the same time, a 14-year-old lad who's worked his whole year has just lost in this world championship game. And you're jumping up and down celebrating like something. And, you know, it's like where I was always drilled, and even when I've won on the world championship stage. I was always drilled by my dad, who was drilled by his dad. The first thing you do when you win the game of darts, shake the guy's hand.
Oh, 100%.
As soon as that's done, do what you want. Take your trousers off for all I care. Shake the guy's hand and let him do what he needs to do. Ryan Branley, big clap. He was the first guy when the World Cup was won by England who went over to the opposition team. Everybody else jumping around, doing their bit. Ryan Branley straight over. It's shown a lot of class. And
yeah, I agree.
That stands out, and it shouldn't. And something like that shouldn't have stood out in that event. And that this goes all the way through that event. Just jumping and leaping around managers because these kids have won against us. And could you imagine, right, if that was Glenn Durrant, if Glenn Durrant was the manager of this team, that team, or that team, do you think he'd have been running around sliding on his knees because these children have just won? He'd have been, no. He'd have shook the other team manager's hand. Right, guys, hands. Right, guys. And he'd have taught them the etiquette first. And I fear at the moment that when I look at that event, the etiquette of darts, those unwritten rules that we talk about all the time, I felt like they was missing.
This is a long shot, but is this because now darts is becoming more and more sports clubs rather than in our day you had to go down a boozer and you couldn't go in a boozer unless you were of a certain age or you were with your father who was making sure you behaved yourself. I was in a sports club at the weekend and they were giving out darts for girls to play who were no older than 6-7 years old, and they were standing at the hockey trying to fling these darts at the door. And I honestly thought this is an accident waiting to happen right here now, because they'd no interest in it. It was just a Sunday day out. The parents were on the vodka and tonics, and these young girls were throwing darts about. And I thought, this isn't what it's supposed to be. Young lads, sports halls are usually a bit more boisterous. There's no age limit. Is that not helping? I agree that a lot of it has to be down to the parents. They have to be taught how to behave. It's as simple as that. But
well, what would have happened, right? When I was younger, when I was 14, I'm starting out in darts and I'm down the local working men's club, right? And yes, we all do it. I do it. When you win a game, get in. That's fine. Reaction, but get in followed by a triple celebration after that, and then again, and then again, and just keep building on it. If I would have won down the local working men's club and I would have gave it the triple celebration, what would have happened? Would Gary would have took the fag out of his mouth, he'd have put it on the side, bang,
yes,
you won't do that again, will you, youth?
No,
that would have been it,
and you'd be told not to come back probably as well.
And my dad would have sat there and gone, you deserved that.
Yeah.
And nowadays, it's a total opposite, isn't it? So, yeah, but...
Yeah. The kids are running the show, aren't they?
I'm not saying the answer here is to smack them. But, my God, I just would like to see off the back of that... And the people was there. There was lots of people there who know and understand the system. I would just like to see off the back of that, maybe with what the JDC do, because they've got some amazing programs and some great projects. I would just like to see maybe some workshops or some things put within their qualifications to remind the coaches of their roles. Their roles isn't to go out and win darts matches all the time. Their roles is also to ensure the integrity of the game is intact. So it's not just, are we really focusing on the winning at that age over everything else? Yes, we are right now. And that's not always the best way to produce the very best.
No, it's not. Total sidetrack for you now. And I want your opinion on this. I've been critical in the past of certain players, and well, we both are from time to time, when they're not playing well, they have a bit of a lull. And I think a couple of players that come to mind recently would be Stephen Bunting and Damon Hetter, who haven't been enjoying the best of form for the last few tournaments. And I just sat thinking about it, and I thought, actually, aren't they the two most prominent players on social media? Is that affecting things? And then I started to look into other sports and players that have, the golf players that have set up social media channels and started doing YouTube channels and all that. And next minute their form's gone and they've ended up like sacking it off and going back to practicing every day. Now, as somebody that has done both for a long time yourself, could it be affecting?
I think it depends on the personality. So for me, personally speaking, I couldn't live the life of a professional dart player. I thought I wanted it until I had it. And then when I had it, I struggled with it because you know me, I'm the most scatty all over the place person in the world. I want to do 25 hours a day. Mm-hmm. And when the only thing in your world is darts, I struggled with that. And then obviously when I had social media, it gave me something different to focus on. What I will say is I don't think everybody who's doing it is doing it for the right reasons. I don't think everybody who's doing it is doing it because they really want to. I think they're seeing it as they're either a business entity, they're either seeing it as a pathway to other things, or they've just seen other people be successful and go, oh, I could do that. And they want a bit of it themselves. Now, the thing with that is it becomes very transparent. You have to love what you're doing because this game, there's a lot of time go into it and there's not a lot of reward coming out the other side. Unless you are on volume and you are looking at high, high content all the time. And what I can see already is I see, and I hear, ear to the ground, I will tell you now, I don't think everybody's doing it for the reasons that they enjoy making content. And that could be a factor.
Yeah, and the output there isn't going to be in the long term what people are looking for. If you're not totally invested in this as we are, it's going to show. It's going to show in what you're making, and people are aren't going to buy into it, I guess. So
some of the content is really horrific.
Some of it
is so bad, but yet some people get away with it because of status. Because of what broadcast provides, you know, the broadcast opportunities. Oh, that's the guy I saw on telly, and look what he's doing now. He's sat with a mask on.
Brilliant.
Well done, mate. Yeah.
So by the time this goes out, we'll be 4 days away from the PDC World Championship. Anything you want to touch on that before it gets started? I know we've spoken about the draw, haven't we, in the season?
Yeah, I don't think there's really too much to go on other than the fact that I looked through it. There's 127 other players in the field, and I just don't see how anyone gets anywhere near Litter.
I agree. And I have to say, seeing a PDC Panini album in the shops for the first time ever is showing us where darts is going, in my opinion. That's a big move.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. And I will also say...
You must have bought one, Matt.
I haven't been in bed all week, haven't I?
Of course.
As a collector, I would say get those and stockpile them. If you've got money and you know, you're fine with it, put some away because I think they're going to be valuable.
I think so. Matt, Mission Products, we've been teasing for weeks and weeks, and the launch day is upon us, that we are launching on the first day of the PDC World Championship, the 11th of December. I've now got behind me all the products boxed up with prices to show everybody. Now, apology, because we've got audio listeners, and the next five, I'm going to try and keep it to 5 minutes, maybe a little bit longer, but guys, I'm sorry you're not going to be able to see these. All I can say is, for one episode, check out this episode on YouTube because you're going to want to see what I'm going to show. And I'm going to kick off with the biggie, Matt. So these are all in different boxes. There's different sizes. There's different things included. I'm not going to take everything apart. It'll take half an hour to show all these. But one thing we've been asked for this year, and I didn't even know this was coming, was the Force 90. I've seen it in the comments, in kite shape. in I go to the office this week. And guess what's there? Force 90 in kite shape being released on the 11th. So all the people that have been asking for a molded system in kite shape, it's here. I've got loads of different colours here. I'm not going to show them all. We've also brought out the normal Force 90 in pink, which we've never done. That's new. But yeah, kite shape. For those of you that have been waiting, it's finally going to be coming out. Right. Love the box on this. Ryan Meikle. So that's going to focus pretty good. That's not bad at all. I'm not taking him out. Like I say, we've done all that before. There's Ryan Meikle's dart, the barber. Have I got a price for that? Let's get the price list handy, and then I can give you the prices at the same time. Ryan Meikle's dart.
If you're listening to this on audio and wondering, it's not your sound. Andy just keeps moving to and from the microphone.
So, sorry about that.
Yeah, and he's talking over by the bed and various different things. Yeah, so if you are listening on audio, this isn't you. This is Andy.
Yeah, it's me. Okay, Ryan Meikle's dart is $44.95. Next one, you probably pronounce this better than me. Is it Thomas Junghans?
Junghans.
Okay, yeah. Thomas Junghans. That looks like a sexy-looking dart. Very nice. 90% tungsten, and that is going to be $55.95. All right. Into the other. Sorry, I did it again then.
Yeah. He even turned his back to it this time.
Yeah. Don't speak while I'm looking the other way.
It's a quick learn.
Argent dart. We've seen this one. Argent dart. $44.95. Hitting some beautiful price points here, Matt. I mean, that's great value. Here it is. We called it the bricklayer's dart because of the grip on the front. It's actually called Neutron. Now look at the weight at the top of the box, Matt. Yes.
Heavy.
Anybody wanting a heavy dart comes in 32 gram, 95% tungsten, Neutron. Price $72.95. That one. Next, we have Labyrinth. Love the design on that. Love the maze in the background. Sexy black and silver dart. Labyrinth is $67.95. Okay, now I'm going to hit you with the big hitters, the big four. These are the most expensive darts Mission have ever done. Probably the sexiest packaging we've ever done. So, as you can see, these are now big boxes. I'm going to kick off with Vector, which is the one with the scallop and the V-cup. And inside this box, which opens up, you've got, I mean, like I said, I'm not going to take everything out, but you get badges, you get molded system with these, not standard. I think there's a drawer at the bottom. Yeah, there's a drawer comes out of the bottom. Oh, crikey. You actually get three sets of molded system. You get spare points. So these have been fitted with the Caliburn point system that you can screw in and screw out. You get a tool. You get two extra sets of different points so you can select whatever points you want to put in the darts. So something that they've never done before. An amazing box. Fabulous. But the next four are all going to look... they've all got the same in. They've got the moldy systems, they've got the spare points, etc. So that's Vector. And the price on that is $114.95. Next is Rodan. Let's get that in focus. Cool, that looks good, doesn't it? Rodan. Same price again. So I'm not going to open the box again. It's got all the same stuff in again. Extra molded system, extra points for you to change. In fact, it tells me on the side here. How about that? Three sets of molded flights, one pin badge, two sets of Mission Caliburn points, one Caliburn tool. That all comes with it in a sexy, sexy box. Two more. I think this one was one of your favorites. And then I'll save the best to last. Okay, £105 is Moldavite. Get it in focus. There we go. Moldavite. That's the black and green one. And then finally, definitely the best one, in my opinion, of course. $114.95 is the black opal.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely amazing, Dart. Fabulous. Okay, so that's all the new stuff that's coming on the 11th. But I've got one other thing that's available now. The Christmas cracker. Get it in. There we go. Now, I thought it'd be shaped like a cracker. It's not. It's a massive box. Does it tell me on the side, or have I got it? Yeah. So in here, you get two limited edition sets of Mission darts that have never been made before, two sets of Mission Vortex flights, eight sets of limited edition Mission flights, five sets of Mission grip lock stems, five sets of Mission flight protectors, a Mission V groove sharpening stone, and a Mission pin badge, all in there. I think it's £150. There's only a certain number of them. How nice would that be under your tree? That's a proper present. Limited edition darts in there that have never been made before. Really, really nice. So that's your Christmas cracker. That's all the Mission products. Apologies again to the audio listeners. A, for the fact that I keep turning away from the microphone, but B, for the fact that obviously you can't see them. But I'm sure you will want to check out that now and have a look at those. Available on the 11th of December. Other stuff going on in your life this week, Matt? Not very much. You've been in bed.
Yeah, do you know what, right? I was thinking about my rant of the week this week for when that comes up, and I'm going to pass on rant of the week this week because I'm going to go for observation of the week. But observation of the week for me is going to be very, a little bit different, because I've made a very interesting observation.
Okay. Tell us more.
Have you ever noticed, like, some things like can be defined quite gender characteristics, but I think I found something that's a female characteristic.
Okay, I'm nervous, but carry on.
Because my missus does this, and I've noticed it a lot recently. Obviously, I've done nothing but lay in bed and notice things. So I've noticed it a lot. And then I thought back to my life and I think, this happens all the time. How can women open a bag of chocolate and not finish it? Like, the missus gets a bag of Cadbury's chocolate buttons, right? And she can have just a couple of them. Then she folds the bag over. And then that's fine till tomorrow. I'll have a couple tomorrow. Oh, I'll have a couple. If I open a bag of Cadbury's chocolate buttons, they're gone.
Yeah, they're like, going, aren't they? You've opened it because you want to eat them.
They're gone.
Yeah.
There is no Cadbury's chocolate buttons left. It can take her a week to get through a bag of Cadbury's chocolate buttons. I'll just have a couple. Oh, that was nice. What? There's still loads in the bag. Like, you're not going to eat those. I might have some more tomorrow. Like, how? How do they have this level of self-control? Like, Pringles.
Willpower, isn't it?
Pringles, they're gone.
Oh, yeah. Gone. It's not even point at it having a lid, is it? Because you're not putting it back on. You're just going to eat them, aren't you? Huh? Yeah, maybe that is it. Maybe that's a thing. Yeah.
Straight through them.
Maybe that's a willpower thing.
I tell you what, here's one for you, right? So Jodie's doing a couple of my TikToks with me at the minute. And we're going to continue to create some. Now I'm coming out the other side of this. We're going to make some more TikToks and stuff. It's going to be great fun. And then, do you know, like, I normally get like a couple of gifts every now and then. Like, people, Jody got a gift.
Really?
Yeah.
Secret admirer.
Box of Ferrero Rocher chocolates. I'm like, what?
Very nice.
Like, what's happened to Matt's Pokemon cards? Or here's a retro game, Matt? Or, you know, all that. No, yeah. Jody's starting to get the gifts. It's like, hang on a minute.
Love it.
She's done two videos.
Yeah, just wait till she gets more than you and then you'd be proper jealous. One other thing that I was going to mention this week, totally, totally random this. I saw it on TikTok and I went and bought it. And it's a little box of things called Talking Point Kids, right? So what exactly is it? And it's conversation starters to have with your teenage children. Now, you've got plenty of kids. You know what teenagers are like. And I thought, oh, that's interesting. But you know what? It's great. So I get one out and sat there with the daughter. Right, pick a card. And she picks it out. And we have a chat about whatever. And there's some really random stuff
on
there.
Let's play it. Let's do one.
Do you want to do one? Yeah. Well, it is. Okay. All right. I'll pick one out at random. Let's get the lid off. Talking point.
Got to have a demonstration, haven't we?
Demonstration. We'll pick one out randomly. I swear to God, Matt, I could not have made this up. Do you think you're a good listener? Yes or no, and why?
Yes, I do. I think I'm a good listener. I thought I'd take it all in.
I swear to God, I could have looked through every card and not found a better one than that. Yeah, no, I'm not a good listener, am I? I'm not a good listener. Well, terrible. I kind of listen, but it just doesn't go in. Doesn't go in, does it? Doesn't. So
awful.
So that, yeah. So that's then, quite
like, we had a meeting this morning, and everything we spoke about, I'll have to say it again tomorrow.
Oh, well, at least once, if not twice, you know that. The thing is, at least you know that, Matt. At least you know that.
So this is a TikTok which I found about Andy. Right? Can tell me if you can hear it. Look, this is you.
I was right. Everything I say is right. You'd be better off if you did what I said. I have no sympathy. You should have listened to me. I was right.
I love that. You got to send me that. I love that.
That's Andy's song.
Yeah, absolutely love it. Right, Matt, it's time for rant of the week. Now, you've not got one, but I have, and it's only a quickie. Just a little quick rant this week before we get stuck into the quiz. I'm sure you've got a difficult quiz for me. I was away, as you well know, because I came down to Daventry to be with you for 3 days. Sadly, you were ill, but we still got some content done, which is great, and that'll be coming soon on the channel. Whilst I was away, Amazon decided to deliver at my house. Now, you may recall, it was horrific weather on the third day. Yeah. So, these are Christmas presents. I've got back from yours on the Friday to find what can only be described as a paper mess in front of my door. They've not just left one parcel on day one and thought, oh, maybe he's away. Oh, no, they've come back on the second day and put another one there. So, there's two parcels. One had wrapping paper in it. You can imagine what that was like. And the other had like a board game in it. So, Amazon had left them in the rain because there's no porch or anything. So they're literally on my doorstep in the rain. Now, when did we get that stupid that somebody would think that's a good idea? I mean, we hear these stories of delivery drivers chucking it over the back gate, and I've had that before, and this sort of thing. In fact, somebody said to me the other day that when we was kids, we played knock a door run. If you want to do that now, just become a delivery driver, because that's what they do. They come to your door and then they're off. But yeah, Amazon left all my parcels outside. And I thought, oh, this would be easy. Just ring them up and, oh, yeah. Well, try and fire the phone number, first of all. And then you've got to click something. And then, oh, can you send it back? What? Wet paper? What? How am I going to send all that back to you? In the end, I ended up on the phone having a rant with them for about 15 minutes. We're talking 25, 30 quid's worth of goods. In the end, they said, oh, just chuck it in the bin and we'll refund you. I was like, well, you could have said that 15 minutes ago, to be perfectly honest. But yeah, I'm not into this.
Do we think, though, that the world isn't built for the world that we live in right now as well? So by that, I mean, when the Royal Mail was first around, we sent letters, cards, and postcards. Now, everything goes through postal services to the point where your letterbox can't cope with parcels. Are we going to get to a stage where a form of like locker or something is going to be outside your house where people can deliver into? I think that or something.
Yeah, I get that. I live on a I live on an estate, Matt. There's 100 other houses. Didn't they used to just knock on your neighbours and say, "Yeah, mate, would you take this for your neighbour? It doesn't look like he's in." Wouldn't that be the sense? Or does that take too long now?
It is probably the timing of it, because they've probably got time restrictions. It's probably the fact that neighbours maybe not even in as well. So I think what this is, it's like, you know, when you go to an old town and you can't park anywhere because it wasn't built for every house having a car or two cars, then no one's got driveways and things. So cars are just everywhere. You can't get anywhere. I think it's that. I think it's that thing at the moment where the delivery driver can't deliver. And I think the evolution of this is somebody is going to come up with a system where you can put things in, but you can't take them out. Or you can use a one-time passcode to put something in. And I think there's going to be a system somewhere where our houses develop for the acceptance of parcels.
Yeah, I mean, you see these Amazon lockers, don't you, in garages and places like that where you can go and pick stuff up from. But yeah, you're right. I think a small one of them outside your house would be, or down the side, it'd be a good idea.
I think that's the way it's going.
Yeah, I think so.
We should do that and go to Dragon's Den.
Somebody's probably already done it. Matt, it's another favourite part of the week where you ask questions and I fail to answer them. We call it the quiz of the week.
Okay. I mean,
this is the part where everybody's now probably fast forwarding, knowing that Andy's not going to get a single question right. Matt's going to laugh at him, and then we move on.
Okay, so I didn't have much time to put this together because Andy asked me 1 minute before we came onto the pod. So what we're going
to
do...
Yeah, you've not been laid in bed for 4 days, have you?
So I'm going to give you a couple of players, first of all.
All right.
And you're going to tell me which player qualified for the World Championship in the highest position. Which one were higher out of the two? And then, if we've got a bit of time left, we're going to play nationalities. So I'm going to give you two names, for example. I'm going to give you Matthew Dennett, and I'm going to give you Wesley Plaisier. And you're going to tell me which player qualified as the highest ranked player for the World Championships based on the orders of merit. Was it Dennett or Plaisier?
That's so difficult.
That's a nice easy start, huh?
I'll go Dennett.
See? Nice easy start. There you go. We're up.
I got it right.
Yeah, we've got one. We've got one.
Wow.
Okay. Okay. Who qualified in the highest position out of Nico Springer or Ricky Evans?
Oh, it's got to be Ricky Evans. Got to be.
It is. It is.
Yeah, I like this game. This is my favourite, Matt. This is my favourite.
You're enjoying this one? Okay.
I am.
Okay. Who qualified out of the higher position between Peter Wright and Michael Smith?
I think that'll still be Peter Wright.
Okay, the form is over. It was Michael Smith. Okay.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Next one. Okay, let's go with another. Who qualified in the highest position? We'll go with Ryan Meikle because his darts are coming out in the very near future. Or Justin Hood.
I'm going to go Justin Hood.
Correct. Look at this, eh? Wow.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Who qualified in the higher position? Was it Chris Landman or Bo Greaves?
Oh, Chris Landman. Bo Greaves will be nowhere on the rank.
See, that's a trick one, you see. There you go.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's a trick one, but you pulled it out. You pulled it out. Okay.
Yeah.
Who qualified in the higher position? Was it Brendan Dolan or William O'Connor?
Oh, I'm going to say Brendan Dolan.
Correct.
Oh, finally.
Okay, right. Let's get you sorted out here because you're getting some right. So let's. Okay. I'm going to tell you a player's name, and you're going to tell me the nation of which they have qualified from. So what is their home nation? So we're going to start off with, nice and easy, we're going to start off with Joe Comito. Where's Joe Comito from?
Nice and easy. Joe Comito.
Where's he from?
Australia?
Yeah. Okay.
Oh, my word. What's going on today?
Stephen Belmont. Where's Stephen Belmont?
Ooh. Oh, I can picture him as well. Stefan, where are you from? Where are you from, Stefan? I can picture him. I'm going to... Oh, I remember watching him recently. Holland.
No. Switzerland.
Is it Germany? Oh, Switzerland. Oh, that's a toughie. Oh, that's
tough. So we're 50 for... We're not as good on nations. 50, let's try 50, another one. Yeah, this is David tough. Cameron.
David Cameron is either Canadian or New Zealand. Let me just have a think. David Cameron. Don't get it right. New Zealand.
No.
Ah, must be Canada then.
Canada, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, let's pick another one. Let's go for Arno Merck.
I can't say I've even ever heard the name. There'll be people shouting at the podcast now going, I know that, I know that. I've never heard the name. It sounds like he could be French.
No, German.
Ooh, that doesn't sound like a German name.
Patrick Kovacs.
Right, so he's, I don't know him either, but he sounds like he's Eastern European. So I'm going to go... Poland.
No way.
Is it?
No.
No.
Hungary.
Okay, yeah, this is a tough one.
It's a nice, easy one for you then. David Davis. Thanks.
Never heard of him. Never heard of him. David Davis. Never heard of him. Making it up now. He's in the World Championship.
Yeah.
David Davis. Never. I was saying America. Never heard of him.
Welsh.
Hey. We have a Welsh qualifier in the... Matt, you're making it up now, or you're confusing me. You go can't on. Qualify from Wales and get in the World Championship unless you're on to Lakeside.
I mean, let's just remember that this does go out as content and people are hearing these things you are saying right now, Andy. As Welsh... you demonstrate your lack of knowledge.
Is this PDC or...
How
or
about... Media? Yeah, it's all PDC. How about David Munya?
I think you're making these up. Philippines.
Kenya.
Okay.
Okay, so...
Are we expecting to see any of these in the second round?
I mean, the thing is here that, like... Maybe that's not your forte. I mean, you was better at the no. You was better at the numbers.
Yes, I was. I definitely was. I definitely was. But no. Thank you for that. But I think the fact that I got a few of those right meant that you definitely had to, you know, up your game a little bit there with the nationality game. That was tough. We're gonna go for comments and emails, Matt, because I've had some as normal. Our viewers never let us down, so let's see who these questions are for.
Oh, by the way, I saw a comment I really liked it, and it says and it was from Amil, and he puts Matt breaks down walk-ons like he's writing a university thesis. Emotional response, crowd engagement, personal branding. Meanwhile, Andy's just yelling at the players to learn the damn lyrics to Mr. Brightside. If Damon Hetter ever walks out to Baby Shark and Matt defends it with a graph, I'm done.
That is brilliant. That is absolutely brilliant. Love that. Absolutely love that. Right. Okay, so this is all right. So I'm going to read it in full. Matt, this is from Matt to Andy and Matt. Matt Woodford, what's your opinion on quality of tungsten? Over the past few years of using different brands of darts for similar periods of time with similar practice routines and game times, the grips on certain brands wear, as in wear away, quicker than others. I've noticed this is not just with certain grip styles, but with different brands. Discuss. I mean, I the first thing that comes into my mind, Matt, is it's nothing to do with the tungsten or the brand. It's the player.
Mm.
Like if a piece of metal hits another piece of metal on a regular basis, it's going to wear away, right?
Yeah.
Hence, if you have a sharp grip dart, the constant of it wears down really quickly because it's quite sharp. Yours is quite grippy.
Let's also put it, sometimes when you think you're getting something different from certain brands. I mean, classic case used to be Warburton's bread used to make Tesco's value bread. So it was made with the same ingredients, everything, but people wouldn't like Tesco's value bread, but like Warburton's. And it was the same bread. And I've stood in a factory before watching flights be punched off of a machine using the same material, using the same press, making the exact same flight. And I've heard people go, I can't use that brand. I can only use this brand. I can only ever throw with these flights. Well, if you can throw with those flights, you can throw with those because they're exactly the same. They come off with same material, off the same machine, using the same press. Mm. Everything about the manufacturing of that flight is the same as that one. But you're telling me you can use that and you can't use that? Yes, that's in your head. And sometimes we get that as well.
I don't believe that the tungsten billets, which is as they're bought in their raw form, are bought by all brands from pretty much the same manufacturer. So, sorry, Matthew, but I don't think that it's a valid point. But we're going to give Matthew a second chance because he actually sent in a second question. I thought this one was quite interesting, so give him a second chance with another question. He said, "Hi, Andy and Matt. I have seen a lot on TV events, not Sky, from certain commentators, it's a good one for you to answer, who seem to completely disregard any form players are carrying into the tournament. For example, saying, oh, that was a shock that he won, when people in the darts know that that player's been playing really well and having deep runs. What are your thoughts, as it seems that no research has been done?" And I thought, I've got to read that out for you because I know how much research is done.
Yeah. So some of it's got to be relevant content as well. Like, so for example, if you're commentating on a mainstream game, something that's on mainstream broadcast, you need to remember that us anoraks of the world aren't the target audience. We're not the audience that you talk to. So if you're watching the Players' Championship Finals on ITV, you need to remember the last time you probably saw these players was either the UK Open or the World Series of Darts or the World Series of Darts Finals. That is the relevant timeline to the audience of which you are talking to. They don't care what happened at Pro Tour 34 in Leicester. Like, we know that happened, but they don't. And that is comparing something that's not comparable to that broadcasted event. So what you might be seeing is you may be seeing a mainstream style of commentary that's discussing a mainstream media timeline. And it doesn't always mean that, like say, the Pro Tour's happened, doesn't need to, it's not overly relevant. Luke Littler lost in the Pro Tour. He lost in Leicester on board 32 in the last 16. Like, that's not relevant, because what's relevant is Luke Littler's the world number one. He's won the last three big TV tournaments. That's what the audience at home know. They don't know that he lost to somebody in a bit of a shock defeat on board 16. So, so some of it is you have to. Now, where you don't ignore that is where you've then got to paint the picture of somebody. So, for example, Adam Lipscomb's just making his debut at the Players' Championship Finals. He's had a great year on tour this year. And when you've got to try and get him over with that crowd, you've got to let the crowd understand who he is. He reached a final of a pro tour in Hildesheim. He's done this, he's done that, he's beat these players, which showed that he's got the quality that he can win matches here against these players that you do know. So you dip in and out of it depending on what you need. But if you're trying to paint the picture, let's say, of a player who's trying to get into the Premier League, the pro tour is irrelevant. Doesn't matter. If you're trying to paint the picture of someone who can come and compete at this level, the Pro Tour matters. If you're just painting the picture of somebody who is having an average year on the Pro Tour and they're having an average year sort of on the TV, you just stick to the TV form, because that's what the... So it's using it, the tools of the season to suit the narrative you're trying to tell. And where you say, oh, this is a shock, it's a shock because, like, let's put it this way. World Championships this year, there's a couple of games. Dimitri Vandenberg, I'm trying to remember who he's got off the top of my head. Who has Dimitri Vandenberg got? Darren Beveridge. Darren Beveridge is the favourite with the odds compilers to win that match. Darren Beveridge would be, to most people that have watched darts this year, not a surprise result. To the viewer that watches at home, Dimitri Vandenberg is a world match play champion, a UK Open champion, a regular in the World Championship for the last God knows how many years, playing a debutant. A debutant who's been trying to get to the event for 6 or 7 years. So although we know the form line suggests Darren Beveridge is playing better, that is a shock result.
Yes.
Just because we know that Darren Beveridge is playing better, to the viewer at home, that is a shock. This is the world number 23. The guy is going to be defending the UK Open prize money in March. Big runs at the World Championship. A marquee name, played in the Premier League, losing to a debutant. It's a shock.
Yeah. I think you absolutely summed that up perfectly with using that as an example. That's a perfect example and very, very well explained, Matt. That's another week over with. I'm going to leave the viewers with one question for you, Matt. In just over 4 weeks, it'll be Q School. Are you going?
It's up in the air right now. It's up in the air. I was wanting to. That was the plan. Falling ill hasn't helped. It's disturbed my preparations by over a week. I probably can't practice for the best part of another week or two yet until the lungs have completely cleared. So probably December was meant to be my practice month. We're into December now and I'm already losing time. So if I don't, I've always said, and this is what one thing I've spoke about when I talk about my darts a lot. People ask if I miss it. I've always said no. And I don't miss it because I didn't feel I could compete. And all of a sudden I felt I could compete again. If I don't feel I can compete, I don't want to do it. Because... like for me, it was about going and playing on the challenge tour and doing that. That comes a week after. If I don't think I'm going to be ready for that, I'll leave it. So we'll see how it goes. But at the moment, I would say the likelihood is no.
Okay. Thanks for that. Thanks again for joining us. We'll be back again. Don't forget to hit that subscribe button and the follow. We'd love to get to that 2,000 before the new year. We'll see you next week for episode 70.